I was just telling my daughter that on the car ride yesterday. She was telling me, so how old were you when you did this level? And maybe I'm going to be 9 when I do beginner novice. And I'm like, there's no rush. Like there, just because you're riding at a certain level at a certain age, it doesn't mean anything. Like you have the right horse at the right time. And yes, you're doing a good job, but that doesn't mean that you're any better than this person. They didn't have that horse to ride that you have. You know, good opportunities, sometimes it doesn't work out, but doesn't mean you're any more or less of a rider.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans. Everyone knows how much we love mane and tail. And recently, our little Stanley got a rash under his neck.
Yes, right under his collar, he got a rash. He started scratching. It got really, really red. I got worried. Well, we got worried. Okay. And we took him to the vet. So as everyone knows, we've talked about before on the show that our Sparky has bad coat and bad skin. And he's had allergies his whole life. And we've always struggled with that. And now here's Stanley started with us. So we were very worried. Took him to the vet, and the vet said, you know what the vet said, Karen?
She said, use mane and tail Protect.
Protect line. So here's the deal. You can use Protect every day on that hot spot, scratches.
Rain rot, ringworm.
Ringworm. So there's directions on the bottle. Get the bottle, but you can use it every day. But the key is you got to let it sit on their coat for about 10 or 15 minutes. Let it really soak in because that contact is what's going to fix this. And let it dry really well. Don't let the water fester on there. So what we have to do is we have to let Stanley's collar off and let it air out really good. We don't want any moisture, which we think is possibly him running around in creeks and swimming and all types of stuff. You know how the barn dogs are. You have a barn dog at all. So Karen, tell us a little bit more about the Protect line shampoo.
So it's a veterinary strength medicated shampoo that provides a complete cleaning and protection treatment of topical skin problems. And it is pH balanced and safe for daily use.
Yeah, so, and that's what I didn't realize is that we can use it every day to get this stuff cleared up. And we're using it every day. And our dogs are, it's amazing. It's night and day how fast it cleared up. So really, really fantastic stuff. So Karen, people, how do people learn more?
Just go to maneandtailequine.com.
And get it at your local tech shop, right, Karen?
Yes.
Fairfax and Favor is even good for guys like me, Karen, who are shopping. So what's really cool is they have color collections. So they have matching handbags and accessories that go with shoes, all different types of shoes. So for a guy like me who's shopping, it's very simple for me to match up what you have. So your birthday's coming up soon. Just kind of curious if there's some favorite color that you like.
I'm obsessed with their mango and cornflower collection right now. Perfect for the summer season.
Yeah, so mangoes kind of looks like a mango color. Mm-hmm. Cornflowers like a baby blue.
Yes.
Super, super cute. And they come with, they have shoes and accessories in all these different colors. So it's very easy to match. And you know, for a guy like me who's not very good at that.
Right. And they also have the trainer with the mango and cornflower stripes.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. So that way, just think about it. You get the trainer with the two different color stripes and then...
Oh, two different purses.
Exactly. Ooh, so
a mango purse and a cornflower
I'm
purse.
Getting myself in trouble.
You sure are.
So Karen, if people want to check mango and cornflower out for themselves and other great Fairfax and Favor products, where do they go?
All they have to do is go to fairfaxandfavor.com. This episode is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. To learn more about Red and Goat, visit their Facebook and Instagram pages and go to redandgoatequestrian.com.
Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, Karen. Yeah.
Triple Crown, big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there, premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
TripleCrownFeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
TripleCrownFeed.com.
They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people that support the show. Trish Scott's got us covered, and she can cover you. Trish is on with us to talk about equine mortality and medical coverages, which there's a lot of changes, Trish. So tell us, what's going on in the industry right now, and how can you help people?
Yeah, there's a lot of changes going on in the equine mortality and medical coverage right now, and I just wanted to put the word out there that we don't have to be afraid. Changes are coming, but I can certainly take care of, whatever questions, concerns, our vendors have. Right now, the biggest one is Great American is not offering any medical coverage to any renewals or new business. And the thing is with our vendors, they're one of the top three rated horses for mortality. So it's a very unique breed of animal, very unique training. So we need to make sure that your policy is covered. I have access to some of the top rated carriers right now. They are all offering full mortality, medical, surgical, any coverage is needed for our vendors. Don't worry about it. Just give me a call. I'd be more than happy to walk through your current policy and make sure that your renewal is covering your horse. Not a problem. Just give me a call. I'm always available. 484-319-8923.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen. And Robbie, today on the Major League Eventing podcast, we love our riders from the north.
Yes,
Canada, and we'd like to welcome to the show this week Lindsay Trainell.
Thanks for having me.
quick practice before
we did have to ask, because before you called in, I was saying Trainell.
That's how most people say it, but. Yeah.
Now, you told us the French version.
Trainell.
I'm not even going to attempt that.
I'd be butchering that. So yeah. Trainell works.
I like Trainell. So Lindsay, you're coming to us via Zoom. We could see you, but can you tell our listeners where you're coming to us from?
I live in Maidstone, Ontario, which is just outside of Windsor. We live right on the border across from Detroit, Michigan.
Nice. Cool. Oh, wow. Detroit, Michigan.
I know. Detroit is actually north of us. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's like one of those weird like geographical things.
So, all right. So if you're in Detroit, do you say our neighbor from the south?
Exactly.
Even though you're in... Like, how does that work? Oh, that's funny. Well, we're excited to get to know you, and can't wait to hear your story. So along those lines, can you take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah. So I started riding, taking weekly riding lessons at a local riding school. I'm from the Windsor area. My mom just signed us up for lessons, and I guess we loved it. We kept going. It was through that coach that we started eventing, and I just loved it, and we wanted to keep doing it.
How old were you when you started?
I started taking lessons when I was 9.
Okay. And then how did the whole eventing thing happen?
So I think we'd been taking lessons for about a year, and then we got our first pony, Blueberry, who with, all the best intentions, our coach helped us find her. Like, my parents wanted to get us a nice, safe pony, but said safe pony, I think, was good in a riding school, but maybe when she came to a little girl I shared with my sister, but, was maybe getting a bit less work than she was. And, I fell off her every day. But I guess I wasn't bothered by it. So I just, hop back on, go again. And I, just kept doing it. And I think we tried to do a little bit of cross country with Blueberry, but I think she sort of stopped at every fence before she went over, which I didn't think was a big problem. But and then we leased a 24-year-old Hackney pony called Little Big Man. And so I did my first sort of real season of eventing, beginner novice, with him, and he was awesome.
And then, okay, so you got to beginner novice with Little Big Man, right?
Locked tail, and he was a really good little jumper, though. He was a really cool pony.
So then you obviously got the eventing bug. Definitely. And then what happens after that?
And then, so I think I rode him for about a year, and then I don't know if it was right after that, but we got a quarter horse called, we called Dolly. She was Minuet was her show name. And I went up to training level with her. So she was also amazing. And then eventually we passed her along to my sister and I got my first sort of real horse, thoroughbred, Sexy Date, she was called. that was her racing name and we thought it was a good one. So we kept it and I did like up through prelim and the old One Star with her and Young Riders.
So how old were you when you did Young Riders?
Probably around 18, I think. I used to spend my summers in high school. I would go up north. It's like 5 hours from here. I was a working student for Ian Roberts. And I spent my summers there because there's a great horse community in Windsor, but they haven't done a very high level of eventing yet. So my mom wanted to make sure I was getting some higher level instruction. And like the summer was a good time to do that. And Ian was the Young Riders coach then. So that's sort of how that all worked out.
Super cool.
Yeah, super cool. So what's Ian like as a, I guess, mentor / boss being a working student?
I mean, it was my dream to be on the farm all day. Like I could have, I don't know, clean stalls all day long. It didn't bother me. Yeah, I had a great time there.
In Canada, do they have Pony Club? Well, they do have Pony Club. Yeah. So did you ever do anything like that?
No, I think we wanted to, but the Pony Club wasn't big in my area. I was interested in doing tetrathlon because I swam in high school and stuff too, but it didn't really work out.
Yeah. Robbie actually did tetrathlon.
Yeah, good couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. And I organized it for our Pony Club, actually our region, which is a big undertaking. But a lot of fun. It's fun watching the little kids doing like the fun stuff and then all the way up to like the seniors doing
it. Yeah. I was definitely up for it. I don't think there was anything that organized around here for that. So it never happened, but I was up to join anything horsey, whatever. Learn anything I could.
And 1 year. So Robbie went to championships for it.
Four times.
Pony Club championships. And the 1 year he won a scholarship to the training center in Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah. So summer 2012 went to train with the U.S. pentathlon team and, got to do an international competition there. Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And just hearing about it, like the swimming, they had like a camera under you to watch like your form and
camera in the pool. They even hooked you up to like a string to like test like your power output and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serious training.
Yeah. It was cool.
Anyway, enough about you, Robbie. So did you end up going to school afterwards or?
I went to like there was never sort of a question that I wasn't going to university. I don't know. I never even thought to ask of not going, but I was, so yeah, I went to University of Guelph for biology. I thought I was going to be a vet. I didn't end up finishing that. I would sort of do a semester there. And then I took my first semester off. I went down to Florida for the first time. And sort of slowly eased my way out of school. Did some online courses, summer courses, and then I didn't quite go back.
And then I did read that you then moved to England in 2010. Was that right after school?
No, there was a little bit of time in between there. I sort of did the Florida, Virginia circuit sort of back and forth for... I mean, it had to have been at least 3 years or so, maybe more. I did get a visa, like an athlete's visa to stay in the States. And I sort of did work for different people. I did some racehorse galloping. I exercised ton horses, did all kinds of, I like to change it up. I worked for a show jumper for a while. And, so I moved to England. I sold my, so it'd be now like a 3-star horse. He wasn't going to do more than that. So I sold them and I found a horse to buy in Ireland. And I kind of thought, well, it's a lot shorter for this horse to travel to England than it is to the States. So I thought, well, I'd always wanted to go to England. Now's the time. So she met me there. And I worked for Lucy Vigersma for 2 years in England.
Okay. So, okay, you worked for her for 2 years. And how did you just stay in England for 2 years, or did you come back, or what did you do?
I was supposed to go for about 6 months, but it was longer.
And then, yeah, I did. We tried to do some research on you.
I knew you had dirt on me.
And then I read that you were the first Canadian to ride in the Le Loulin. I don't know how you say
Leon. We'll just call it that.
Leon.
Yeah. A 7-year-old. Was that the horse that you got in Ireland or a different one?
Yes, that's the horse I bought in Ireland. We got her as a 6-year-old. So I did. Then when I moved to England, I competed her there and qualified for Le Leon. And I traveled over with Lucy to Le Leon with Sneaky. That Sneaky was her proper name, but Sneaky.
I found that interesting that you, like, you were the first Canadian to ride in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty expensive trip, I guess, to go from Canada with the 6 or 7-year-old, but you know, I was so close. And I mean, I had no idea what I was going to, like, I didn't realize what a big deal it was. It's amazing. Like, they have huge crowds. Like, it's a really fun event to go to.
Yeah. I've watched videos of it, and just the jumps themselves are really cool.
It's amazing. The course is a masterpiece. It's beautiful.
Isn't it like basically like the young horse, like young event horse, like championships basically like internationally?
Yes. It's the World Young Horse Championships. Yeah.
Such a cool show.
Yeah. So why would that show, that cross country course, have like those type of jumps? Like, one looks like a violin coming out of the ground. I find that great. I mean, it's cool.
For seven-year-olds,
like, you would think see that in badminton or burly.
The horses don't really pay attention to, they don't notice it's a violin. Like, yeah, sure, yeah. Something particularly spooky about it, but you know, they just see it as anything else. But for sort of the riders and spectators, it's really cool.
Yeah, I agree. It'd just be kind of cool to see. I mean, now Kentucky, they have the corgi jump.
You gotta get more like that.
Yeah, right. and then after that, you moved to France.
Yeah. So I met my now husband. He was working for Lucy at the same time I was. Okay. And he got a job offer in France. And so he left me in England, and I ended up following him there. And also, my visa was up in England, so I was kind of like, "Hey, well, let's try France."
Keep this trip going.
Yeah. So Xavier, he'd already gone to France. He came back to pick me up. He picked up Sneaky, and I had then a second horse then called Candy, and so he picked us up and moved us over to France.
And how long were you there?
5 years.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
And were you still like working with anyone there? Were you like on your own at this point?
No, when we very first went over, we were working for somebody, but that didn't really work out. So we ended up, we stayed with, we worked a little bit for a friend of his, and then we decided to start looking for our own place. And we had our own farm there for, I guess it was 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And had our business there.
Yeah. And then after that, you came home.
Yeah. I'm back.
Awesome. Cool. And I mean, I guess that kind of brings us to this point. So tell us a little bit about what you currently have going on. Like, what's your business looking like? You know, what are you up to?
So we run like a boarding and lesson business here. We've got 36 stalls.
Oh, wow.
I think 37 horses right now. I think we've got 11 lesson ponies, and then the rest of those are boarders or we have a few horses too.
That's a big operation.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Right. And do you just, Are they like beginners that you train all the way up, or do you have like a certain?
Yeah, we do beginner lessons, and then sort of slowly as those, like we have obviously some people moved here that already knew how to ride when we opened, but we're just starting to get now like kids that have started off here as beginners and like starting to get their first ponies and horses, and sort of, you know, the idea is to start them from beginners and move them up through the ones that want to, you know, through the levels of eventing.
Yeah, that, super cool.
Yeah, that's fun to watch is when you get the little kid who's never ridden before, and then they start, and then next thing you know, they're getting their own horse, and then eventing, and then, you know, or just competing in general. And it's fun to watch that.
It's crazy how fast they grow up so fast.
They do.
That was the plan when we moved back, was to, you know, be back with my family. We had two little kids, so it was nice to come back here and be with them. And the business plan all along was to run lessons. And I just, the part of what I didn't even consider was just like the amazing community that we have here now. And like for our kids, there's like just an awesome group of kids and parents that they're friends with. And it's just, It's a great way for them to grow up. We're really lucky.
Aw, kids are lucky to have you.
they're great. I don't know how they turned out so great. They're
awesome. And then you also just recently competed at Kentucky in the 4-star. Yeah. So can you tell us about your experience there and the horse that you rode?
Yeah, he was amazing. So the horse, we call him Dreamy at home, or Bassy Rouge. That's another French pronunciation for you. And he's a horse we got while we lived in France. We bought him as a 4-year-old, and we've just brought him up through the levels. We originally bought him as a sales horse, but then decided, hey, why sell a horse we could make money off of? This one's amazing. Let's keep it. he's up at the 4-star level now, and we did he's done quite a few 4-stars now, and he was amazing at Kentucky. It's a great event to go to. I love that they have the 4-star now. It feels like such a big deal, and the jumps aren't quite as scary as the 5-star, so you know feel like it's the big time, but it's a really great event.
Now, do you have any 5-star plans with him coming up?
Not yet. He's going to the 4-long in Bromont.
Okay.
I really feel like we're starting to, I mean, he was, since he, we did Bromont last year, the 4-long, he was second there. And since then I've really felt, you know, really confident, starting to get really confident at that level, starting to be able to be more competitive. And I just like to, you know, really, it's not being so much qualified, but really feeling ready to take the next step before we do it.
And do you have any other competition horses behind you?
Yeah, I've got it. So Sneaky, the horse I took to Leon, she was my first advanced horse that I had in France, her and then Candy at the same time, the two I had over there. And so we bred her, and I've got two babies. One 7-year-old and one 5-year-old. And so they're coming along, and we'll see what they do.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome. Cool. And we also saw that you are on the very lengthy name of the 2023 Eventing National Team Program High Performance Squad National Team.
Is that yes. Right?
Tell us a little bit about like that process and kind of what all perks that you're getting through that.
Well, I mean, it's so great to be recognized. And right now, for Canada, it's a great time to be involved in that program. There's, you know, Rebecca as our chef to keep, and we've got Emily Gilbert that heads up the High Performance Advisory Committee. And so she does a lot to sort of support us. And it's a really great time to be in the Canadian eventing. Everybody seems to be getting behind us, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, I did see that there were like 3 categories. You're on the national squad. So what does that mean?
So that's the top squad, I guess, for okay. Canada. And if you look on the Equestrian Canada, say it's just score based. Like there's no like selection to it for the, at least the national and the development squads. I'm not familiar with the one below it. I don't know if they have done that one yet. But anyways, the National Development Squad, there's just criteria that you have to meet. And so if you meet those criteria, sort of certain scores, and then you have to be consistent enough over other FEI events, then you make the list.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And so like, if you're going to like a show, you know, do you get any like team type of coaching or like anything like that?
Yeah, Rebecca was there to support us at Kentucky, as well as Emily and all the Canadian selectors are there. That's another nice thing. Like, the selectors are really involved and really seem invested in the program, and not just looking to right now, but sort of the future for Canada too. So there's definitely, and like Rebecca checks in with us, you know, if we need anything, we can always, you know, get in touch with her. She's coming over early before Bromont, so we can go a little bit ahead of time and do some training at Colleen Loach's place, because she lives nearby. They had like the training sessions with Janelle that Rebecca organized, and Emily too, I guess, in Florida.
I'm sure they were pumped up after Carl's win in Kentucky.
Awesome. Go Carl!
With the Pan Ams coming up, is there, like, being on the national squad, does that mean that you get to go, or do you still have to apply?
Yeah, you still have to send in your application and be selected, but yeah, that is our goal for the year.
Yeah,
it's the end of the year.
I know I should know this, but where are they at this year?
Chile.
Oh, wow.
That'd be a fun trip.
Oh.
Oh, well, we're rooting for you. Gotta get you on that team. I mean, really, Canada has been doing really well. Like, you guys got a small but mighty team behind you, you know, especially with Carl winning Kentucky. Yeah. I looked up your record, and you're doing awesome as well, you know, and you got your Colleens and Lisa Marie's and Jessica's.
Yeah. Yeah, Canada's definitely looking strong here for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
It is really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So, Lindsay, we are going to play quick fire questions. And quick fire questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Get your all weather outerwear by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So it is five questions. It's called quick fire, but you don't have to be quick. And it's just, like I said, five, and it's just random questions, whatever I feel like spitting off. So, all right. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Favorite rider growing up?
Mark Todd.
Oh, Sir Good Mark that. Todd.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, yet then. I remember we had like VHS tapes. I think we had two badmintons and one burly. And I think like I would always root for Mark Todd, and my sister was always rooting for Mary King. And it was just like this, you know, rivalry. I think Mark Todd won at least on one of the tapes we had. So I was the winner.
That sounds about right.
Probably. Was it on, was it Charisma?
I don't remember the horse. Which one it was that year, but
that's I like watching him ride that horse. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right. If eventing was not an option, what other riding discipline would you want to try?
I guess show jumping. I did spend some, I had a sort of failed eventer at one point that I ended up jumping up to 1.40 meters, which helped my eventing amazing, like my eventing show jumping a lot. So I guess I go back to that.
I bet. Now, do you still do the show jumping at all?
Yeah. I mean, more as like a supplement to a practice for the eventing, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
Cool. All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box?
No. Okay. Well, see, I have one thing that I don't do. I don't take silly photos in front of cross country jumps before I go, because I did it once and then I fell off of that fence And it was a fence that my horse normally would have had no problem. It was like this. I was at Le Pin in the, I don't know if it was the Nations Cup or not, but it was the four short there. And I took this photo of my hands up in the air, like behind the brush. It was skinny. My horse was amazing at skinnies. And then I still fell off at the fence. So now I don't take silly looking photos in front of cross country jumps before I do them.
Understandable.
Oh, well, that is funny. I like that.
It's easily avoidable. So it's not a big problem. Right. I'm not very superstitious, but that one just seemed to be something I shouldn't do anymore.
Yeah.
Save that for after the event.
Exactly. That's fine.
Right.
I can be in a photo with a fence. I'm just not gonna be like, oh, this one's huge. Look at this.
Yeah.
Boom.
Oh, I love that. All right. Do you have any hobbies outside of horses?
No. Driving my kids to sports. Does that count?
How old are your kids?
6 and 8.
Oh, okay. Do they have any interest in horses?
Yeah. My oldest is actually doing her first little event this weekend, grasshopper level.
Oh, fun.
Oh,
yeah, but I don't have a lot of time for extra things right now.
Oh, we got to get you a hobby.
Okay, we'll find something.
It could be anything. Read a book, drink some wine.
Napping be a hobby? Is that? Hey, is that
cool? That's a good one.
That could be something I could get on board with.
All right. So last question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Sneaky, like a more, she was just always a little bit fragile. Never quite got to, she was just the best cross country horse, but I never quite got to do everything that I wanted to do on her. So if I could have a sound version of her, as long as I still get to have Dreamy, if I could also have Sneaky, then that's what I would take, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well,
A++.
There you go. Good job.
Awesome. Now, Lindsay, you've obviously have been everywhere doing everything. Do you have any advice for the young rider looking to make it in this sport?
I would say don't be in a rush. Like I feel like when I was a young rider and just coming up, young riders seemed like a really big deal. And yeah, it's a great experience and it was a really fun thing to do. But if that doesn't work out for you, if you don't have the horse or the support or whatever, like it doesn't matter. Like once you get past young riders, you realize nobody cares about it, but it's not such the only thing as you think about. Their riding is amazing that you can do it for so long. You might as well take your time and get it right. You'll end up having to go back if you don't anyway. So it's just, I think just take your time. There's really no rush.
Now, you brought up the young riders and you see a lot of these young riders, they rush, like you said, to get there.
It's like such a big, like, it seems like that's what you have to do though. I do understand that. But.
Yeah. And then it seems like after young riders, they disappear. It's like they got burned out.
Well, and it's hard because, you have all that support with young riders and the young rider coach. And then, you just get past that and you're kind of like, what do I do now?
Yeah. Take your time. Don't rush.
That's a good one.
If you want to stay in this sport and make it.
I was just telling my daughter that on the car ride yesterday. She was telling me, so how old were you when you did this level? And maybe I'm going to be 9 when I do beginner novice. And I'm like, there's no rush. Like there, just because you're riding at a certain level at a certain age, it doesn't mean anything. Like you have the right horse at the right time. And yes, you're doing a good job, but that doesn't mean that you're any better than this person. They didn't have that horse to ride that you have. Good opportunities. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but doesn't mean you're any more or less of a rider.
Yeah,
very true. But it is fun going to an event and you see the young kid beat out like the Bruce Davidsons. I think that's so fun.
I didn't say we weren't competitive.
We just want to take our time.
What about a rush getting good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good advice. Yep. Definitely take your time. Don't rush. Do it right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lindsay, as we wind things down, we love to give, we love to recognize any sponsors or supporters. So who do you have behind you that keeps you going?
Well, I would say number one is my family. They are so supportive of me. Like, my husband is always around to help. He comes to all the events. Like, he does most of the coaching at the farm. He's horsey as well. So he helps me. Like, you know, I have a problem with a skinny fence. He builds me a skinny. Like, he is just he like our life kind of revolves around my show schedule. Like, my parents, they own Dreamy, and they're always like stepping in, helping look after the kids. Like, when we went to Aiken this year, our girls stayed with them so they could be in school. Like, my sister plans my niece's birthday parties around our show schedule. It's just everybody's so like supporting and supportive and understanding of like what I do. So that's definitely number one. And then we've got our team at home, all the girls that work for us, like Jess, Jade, Desiree, Michaela, Haley, and Madison. They are all, you know, a really important part of our team. And our sponsors, sponsored by Devaku. We love our Devaku Tack, Free Jump, the Stirrups, and I'm getting my air vest soon, so I'm excited about that. And Marcy's MagnaWave. So she takes very good care of Dreamy and makes sure he's feeling his best. So we've got a really good team. We're really lucky.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, thank you so much for mentioning who you have, your team behind you, like actually saying their names, because I feel that's important that, you know, they actually do get recognized, you know.
Well, I mean, we could not do it without them. Like, you know, even like, so Jessica, she runs our riding school, but that's a really important income for us while we're away. Like Jess and Jade and Desiree, they're our bar managers and grooms, and they sort of help with the day-to-day. And then even the girls that work on the weekend, we couldn't give our staff days off without them. Like, everybody's so important, even if they're at their shows, if they're at home. Mm-hmm. And just even all of our boarders and clients, they're just so supportive of our, you know, all of our show schedule when we're gone. Like, we had a huge group that came down to Kentucky. They rented this Airbnb across the street, and my daughter's birthday was on cross country day, and they had a birthday party for her. Like, it was just have such an awesome group, and we're really, really lucky.
Oh,
that's awesome. Now, you know, Lindsay, how can people follow along with everything you got going on? Do you have any social media, website?
Yeah, we've got Instagram and Facebook. We're Windsor Equestrian Center. And we do have a website, windsorequestriancenter.ca.
There we go.
Awesome. Well, this was really fun.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah, it was really great to meet you and get to hear your story and hear everything you got going on. So, yeah, we're definitely going to be rooting for you, get you to the Pan Ams, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Start the campaign for it.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. I feel like I really made it if I had a major league eventing interview. I'm big time now.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.